ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद्भागवतम 10th कैंटो चैप्टर 14 एंटाइटल्ड ब्रह्मास प्रेयर्स टू लॉर्ड कृष्णा। टेक्स्ट 37। प्रपंचं निष्प्रपंचोपि प्रपंचं निष्प्रपंचोपि विडंबयसि भूतले विडंबयसि भूतले प्रपन्न जनतानंद प्रपन्न जनतानंद संदोहं प्रथितुं प्रभो संदोहं प्रथितुं प्रभो। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद्स फॉलोअर्स। My dear Master, although you have nothing to do with material existence, you come to this earth and imitate material life just to expand the varieties of ecstatic enjoyment for your surrendered devotees. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that just as a lamp does not seem to shine as brightly in sunlight as it does in the shade, or as a diamond does not seem as brilliant on a silver platter as it does on a plate of blue glass. The Lord's pastimes as Govinda do not seem as amazing in the transcendental abode of Vaikuntha as they do within the material realm of Maya. Lord Krishna comes to the earth and acts toward his pure devotees exactly like a devoted son, boyfriend, husband, father, friend, and so on. And within the darkness of material existence, these brilliant liberated pastimes give unlimited ecstasy to the surrendered devotees of the Lord. In his Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada quotes Lord Brahma as follows: I can also understand that your appearance as a small cowherd boy, a child of the cowherd men, is not at all a material activity. You are so much obliged by their affection that you are here to enthuse them with more loving service by your transcendental presence. Today there is more than the ordinary or normal crowd. Obviously it's the beginning of a new year, and all of our aspiration is let this new year be happy. Let it be a beginning of a very beginning of auspiciousness in our life. That's our hope. I remember my mother would say, whatever you do on the first day, you will do for the rest of the year. You better do something what you ideally expect. At least on that day we show what our priorities are, if you're really serious. At least for one day in a year. And rest 364, we hope we prioritize day like that. But then somewhere we fall short. So many other things take over. So many other priorities, so many other distractions. And we wait for another new year. Maybe next year we'll start. Every moment is actually a good time to start. But it's nice to mark on a calendar, beginning of something auspicious. So, that hope is because that's natural for a conditioned soul to be happy and everything wonderful around us. Sat Chit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and blissful. That's the nature of the soul, and it's actually looking for that. But then it is looking for it in a wrong place. This place is Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam. But then, even within that place, if we can only change our consciousness, Vishwam Purna Sukhayate, then for such a personality, doesn't matter where this material existence, which is really fearful, which is mostly inauspicious, is always auspicious. A person is fearless. That's what Parvati, when she cursed Chitraketu took it up. It's very auspicious. Thanked Parvati. And at that time, Lord Shiva appreciated Narayana Parasarve na kutoshchana bibhyati swarga apavarga narakeshu apitulyartha darshana. He said, Narayana Para, that's the nature of a devotee who is fully absorbed. Na kutoshchana bibhyati, in any situation, is not fearful. Swarga, whether it is heavenly situation around, apavarga, Vaikuntha, narakeshu, or hellish, api tulyartha darshina, he sees it as equal, provided, or because he sees that here is an opportunity to experience Krishna, to see Krishna, to get his mercy, come closer to him, remember Krishna. This is real wealth. This is the Vedic way of judging who is a wealthy person. That is, how much is there an opportunity to remember the Lord? How much is there an opportunity to serve the Lord? Service of the Lord and remembrance of the Lord, whoever has it, is supposed to be a very wealthy person. But if without that, and this only happens when there is love. Prem dhana vina vyartha daridra jivan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the end of Shikshashtakam prayers. This is the last chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Last chapter, Shikshashtakam prayers. The whole Bhagavad Gita, where Gita ends, Bhagavatam begins. Where Bhagavatam, Gita ends with Sarvadharman Parityajya, Bhagavatam begins with Dharma Projita Kaitam, kicking off all other, and takes up to, in the 10th canto, to the gopis' love for Krishna. And that is where Chaitanya Charitamrita begins. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritir, their loving reciprocation. So the Lord descends along with his associates to perform this pastime to attract the heart. And the conclusion of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the summum bonum of all the Vedic literature, it ends with Shikshashtakam prayers. And in Shikshashtakam prayers, this is nothing but Srimati Radharani relishing the intense love of God with Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar, who are none other than Vishakha and Lalita. Lalita and Vishakha. He was just relishing it. High emotions, drowning. Sometimes one emotion would last for the whole day. Sometimes different emotions. There's an ocean of emotions. I'd be drowning like this. And experiencing each of these verses. Each of these verses. And there he makes the statement. Prema dhana bina vyartha daridra jivan. At the end of the day, at the end of one's life, how do you judge whether his life was successful? How much have you love for Krishna? Dharma swanushtita pumsam vishvaksena kathasuyaha na utpadiyeti adiratim shramaye vahi kevalam. It's a waste of labor. So, vyartha and daridra jivan. This is a way of testing who is poor and who is rich. Prosperous, happy and prosperous. This is the prosperity. One who has love for Krishna. How much do we have love for Krishna? So, dasakori. Therefore, previously he said, nadanam janadanam, I don't ask for anything. But now he is asking for one thing. He says, dasakori. I want to serve you. But I want payment. He says, I want payment. You have to give me my salary. Dasakori vetan more deha. It seems contradictory. What is the vetan he is asking? What is the salary he is asking? Vetan more deha premadhan. Give me a drop of the ocean of love which you are experiencing. So, actually Krishna is experiencing in the spiritual world. And in spiritual world, there is no distraction. There are no obstacles. Everything is smooth and nice and comfortable. Everything is perfect as we want it. Therefore, sometimes, you know, if you keep on eating sweet, sometimes you feel like eating some farsan. So similarly, sometimes Krishna feels, let me go. Kochid vihartum swasukham upagate kochid vihartum. Bhishma says in his prayers just before passing away, Bhishma says, my Lord, iti mati upakalpita vitrishna bhagavati sattvata pungave vibhumni. He says, iti mati. Now that I am about to pass away from this world, I had the benediction of Ichha Mrityu. Now I have no Ichha. Now I want to give up my body. Now that you have come and you are looking at me, glancing at me lovingly. He says, iti mati. Now I want my mind. Mind meaning thinking, feeling and willing. Upakalpita. Let me focus it on you. Vitrishna and nowhere else. That is the perfection of yoga. To focus the mind where we want and take it off from where we don't want. That is the toughest thing. That is the toughest thing while chanting the holy name, mantra. It doesn't go or doesn't stay where we want. It goes where we don't want. Everywhere that we don't want. Yato yato nishchalati manaschanchalam asthiram tatastato niyamyait atmaneva vashamnai. That's the practice of yoga, Krishna says in the Gita. When Arjuna says, my mind is chanchala, pramathi, balava, dridham, very obstinate. It's a simple withdraw, focus. Withdraw from where you don't want, focus where you want. And Bhishma, in spite of the fact that he was occupied with so many responsibilities, so many roles as a head of the Kshatriya, as a grandfather, and so many other roles he was playing. And in each role, there were so many goals to be achieved. So his mind was occupied with so many things. But because he was doing it for Krishna, sincerely, to the best of his ability, what are the proof? He was doing it as an offering of love. And therefore, he achieved the perfection of yoga. And what is that? At his will, he could withdraw his mind from wherever he wanted and focus it where he wanted. He said, enough. I have spoken to Yudhishthir with your desire, my Lord. I did that. I was waiting for you. Enough is enough. Now I want to withdraw my mind from everywhere. I want to focus it on your beautiful transcendental face, lotus-like face. Iti mati upakalpita. Upakalpita means focus. Vitrishna, extracting from everywhere. On whom? Bhagavati. On the Supreme Lord. Vibhumni, the greatest. Sattvata Pungave. He is the leader of the devotees. Sattvata means devotees. He is the leader of the devotees. And why? Swasukham. You are completely self-satisfied. But upagate kvachid vihartum. Just like, let me go for a walk today. I'm just feeling, let me go and see. Prabhupada says, let me go and see. There is no need for the Lord to come to this world. He can get it done through his energies, multifarious energies. But he just comes, let me go and see. There is no other reason. His desire to enjoy. That's all. Prabhupada says, just like a governor goes to the prison house, there is no need. There is a prison keeper who is taking care. He gets weekly report, monthly report, what's exactly happening, how many are inside, how many got out. There's no need for him. What are the food being supplied? Everything is there. Still he says, let me go and see what's happening. So it's Krishna's desire. Truly speaking, it is for the pleasure of the devotees, but simultaneously is impartial. Actually, the Lord is impartial. Some people feel he is partial. Partial to the devotees. And that seventh canto begins with this question. Is really Lord impartial? Or does he take side? Samam priyam sahrid. He is supposed to be samam. He is supposed to be priyam. Everyone very dear to him. And sahrid. He is the well-wishing friend. But sometimes he kills someone. Sometimes he protects someone. Benefits someone. Actually, he is the same. Whomever he reciprocates, he simply gives mercy. But the mercy is received and perceived by different devotees and different people in different ways. Those who are averse to the Lord, because they want to become the Lord, they hate the Lord, they blaspheme the Lord, they criticize the Lord. But then, when he reciprocates, like in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, whomever he killed, everyone got the ultimate goal. Everyone. Without any discrimination. According to their understanding, they went up. Purified. Parthastra putam padama purasya. They got it. So he reciprocates. But some people are totally averse. They just turn away from him. The sunlight is equal to all. But some people turn. Some people just don't turn to the sun at all. Stay in the dark room. What can the sun do? Some people turn only at particular time. Artho, jigyasu, artharthi. You know? Only when there is a problem, they go. Once a problem is solved, they turn away again, back to square one. So they receive the mercy. They can experience Krishna's mercy temporarily. But those who are intelligent, those who are beyond these desires, some material desires, who understand actually who is Krishna, who am I? They turn to him 24 hours, 365 days for the rest of their life. They are always in sunshine. Therefore, the Lord is also reciprocating. He seems to reciprocate more. A child who is totally, newborn child, totally dependent on the mother, gets maximum attention of the mother. And a child who is 16-year-old, he says, don't poke your nose in my affair. I can take care of myself. I don't want all this. You know. Too much you are asking me where I go, what I do. I want to be myself. She's the same. She loves the same. But who gets the more attention? Somebody in between may feel jealous. Why he gets so much attention? Sibling rivalry. Sometimes it happens. Second child is born. First child gets attention. The second child becomes envious. Start beating up the child. Something like that. If it's not understood properly. Similar. So, the Lord comes even within the darkness. And when he comes in darkness, you can appreciate light much more in darkness. You can appreciate a candle's or a torch's importance when it is dark, not when it is full sunlight. You can appreciate hot water in cold season, not in the summer. Or you can appreciate cold water in the summer, not in the winter. You can appreciate a diamond when it is placed against a dark background. Blue satin cloth. Not put in chapati on the sand or put in a silver platter. Not a contrast. So more contrast is there, it stands out. So Krishna's activities are amazing. It's so attractive. But in the spiritual world, everything is so attractive, everyone already loves. It's ever exciting there too. We have no experience like that, of that. So for us, we need something like this. And the Lord comes and performs such amazing superhuman activities. Janma karma cha me divyam. This shloka Krishna says, my birth and activities are transcendental. One who understands it in truth attains my abode. Now, this shloka applies equally as much to the Lord as to the great acharyas. Even their janma and their karma divyam. Especially those exalted personalities who come on the will of the Lord to execute the mission of the Lord, completely subordinate to the will of the Lord. Thy will be done. Actually, if we study their lives, we can appreciate Krishna's mercy much more than directly studying Krishna. Because Krishna already is great. Though, generally, there are two kinds of glories of Krishna. One is his greatness, 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 greatness. Too much of hearing about his greatness makes you fear him. But when you hear about his intimate, loving, ordinary dealings, how he dealt with Shabri, how he dealt with Kubja, how he dealt with his friends, how he dealt in the most common interactions, with the least people, the least of the, that's why it's Sheila. Sheila means even the lowest, how is he able to relate? And when we read that part, he's nearer than the nearest. Because the more greater he is, he becomes far. So he is farther than the farthest because he is greater than the greatest. But simultaneously, he's nearer than the nearest. He's so intimate. As Paramatma, he is nearer to every living entity than anyone else in this creation. Who can be more nearer to us than Paramatma. And reciprocating in so many ways. So many ways. In fact, one great Acharya has written, what are the benefits that the Lord does for us? Shataka. He has written a Shataka. Upakara Shataka. What are the Upakara he is doing? Sarvasachaham Hridi Sannivishto Matasmritir Jnanam Apohanam. He gives us knowledge, remembrance, forgetfulness. Huh? Forgetfulness is also mercy? Yes. One lady who was in that bomb blast in Taj Hotel, when she was asked, she wanted to forget about it. She didn't want to talk about it. Some people want to forget some incidents in life. Please don't remind me. When reminded, they actually live through that experience again. So such horrible experiences, they don't want to live, they want to forget. Krishna mercifully makes them forget that. Imagine if you were to remember when we were in the womb of the mother. What happened to us? We were murdered 25 lifetimes ago, brutally. If you were to remember all your lives, we would go in, we would become insane. We'd go mad, we'll have identity crisis. Who am I? When? Whom am I when? In 1824 I was this. In 1724 I was that. It's good. Krishna makes you forget. So many ways he is reciprocating. So as Janma Karma Chame Divyam applies to the Lord, similarly Janma Karma Chame Divyam applies to even his great exalted devotees. And scrutinizingly studying their lives, their appearance and their activities gives us a direction how to make our life happy and new. We want to make it happy, we want to make it something wonderful, new. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur has written a very beautiful article, wrote a very beautiful article while compiling all the lives of the great acharyas, four of the four sampradaya, prominent acharya. So he wrote an article on the unique position of an acharya. What is the significance of great personalities in our lives? He says, many think that the path of bhakti is a bed of flowers. They include, why they think it's a bed of flowers? Because they think anything and everything is bhakti. Sometimes they include blind faith, indiscipline, recklessness, a lack of power of discrimination, sentimentalism and emotional outbursts as being in the category of devotional service. So just come, hari bol, dance and nice. Something happens, yeah. They think they are progressing. So they think it is a bed of flowers. But the Shastras and Acharyas say that although bhakti is the only means to achieve the ultimate goal, of course it is very pleasing. Susukham kartum. It's very, very simple, sweet, etc. Still, it is full of thorns, especially so in Kali Yuga. It's not going to be easy when we take the path of devotional service. Because you are carrying light in the dark world, not all will be able to appreciate it. Some bats, they hate light. They want to stay in darkness. Because in darkness, they can go on with their kind of bed of flowers. The acharyas, with selfless compassion, warn those who are entering the path of devotional service of the obstacles that they are sure to face, so that the sadhakas may safely and without disturbance reach the goal. So one is by warning clearly, what are the things that are going to come? In one sense, preparing us. Swayam samuttirya sudustaram dhyuman bhavarnavam bhimam adabhra sauhrudaha. Because they are our well-wishers, they cross the insurmountable fears, ocean of birth and death, effortlessly, because they have taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Otherwise, duratyaya, very difficult, very fierce, but they cross it. But very mercifully, nidhaya yata, but they leave the boat on the other side for us. And that is their instructions, their writings, and their personal example. So therefore, a scrutinizing study of the lives and teachings of the great acharyas is very, very inspiring, because we can connect with them, especially the recent ones. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says there are two kinds of Mahajan, ancient Mahajan and modern Mahajan. The Mahajan is the Mahajan. Why ancient? Ancient means Dwadash Mahajan. And who are modern Mahajans? Para apara karaho vichar, he says, Narottam Das Thakur. And the modern ones are the followers of Lord Chaitanya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared recently, as Prabhupada said, 500 years ago. We can relate. Can't connect with Prahlad Maharaj. Very difficult. Bali Maharaj. Neither do we have that kind of an opulence, nor do we have that kind of surrender attitude. But when we see the lives of those who are much closer proximity in terms of time and situation, we can kind of relate and connect much easier. Though the principles remain the same everywhere, it's the same principle always. So that is the first thing. They warn us of the potential thorns that invariably you are going to face. Then you won't be surprised. I remember when we went to Mangalore into a forest. I was told well in advance by that devotee who was staying there. He said there are a lot of they drink blood and gets stuck. Leeches. A lot of leeches. And he described the leeches. How they look, how they get stuck, you don't even realize. And they are like, stick to you and they suck the blood. Actually, they don't do anything. They drink nice blood, fully bloat, and then they fall automatically. How to avoid them, take a salt and put it in. So many things. They've given us instructions and all that. So, I went there and sure enough, there were leeches. I was taking bath in the river. When I saw three or four of them sticking to my body. And they are like a part of the skin itself. You can't rub them off. You can't rub them off. Anything you do, you can, unless you peel your skin, they'll come along with the skin. They just won't come. Small ones. And I counted them. 1, 2, 3, 4. And then I went to the devotee, who was an experienced devotee, who was living there for 2 years. I said, Prabhuji, four leeches, how to remove them? Can you? I don't have anything with me because I didn't carry salt. If you carry a bag of salt dipped in water, just touch it and they fall off. He said, that's why the people carry one stick with a cloth bag of salt dipped in water. Just touch it like that. They just fall off. I didn't carry them. So he was shocked looking at me. He said, anyone else in your place would have screamed and panicked. How come you are not panicking? He said, no, I was told maximum they will drink few grams of blood and they will fall off. So I am thinking 40 grams will go probably, or 4 grams or whatever. Very bad, but what to do? Initially it was really scary. I never knew. I had heard about leeches. I heard that they look like this, they do like this, they drink blood. And I didn't know. I was just kind of, first initially I was just kind of, something sticking. Then I said, hey, hey. Then I was rubbing and scrubbing, and I said, it's just like a tire extension of a bubble in the tire. It's a part of the tire. It's like that. And suddenly I said, is this the same leech that he had told me? Immediately the fear went away. First the fear, I don't know what it is. It may be poisonous, it may be inducing poison. Then I realized, now I know what I had heard. So Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is like that. It tells you all the obstacles, all the difficulties that you're going to face. The acharyas warn us. And when you come through, acha, this is what he used to tell, huh? Bodily concept of life. Attachment. Theek hai. Krishna, please give me the strength to go through it. So it's a fact. Sometimes we hear, but sometimes we are not very intelligent in Kali Yuga. First class intelligence, hear and understand, like Prahlad Maharaj. 5-year-old boy tells about what is family life. With deep realization. Same place, scratching an itch. We hear, in fact, we give lectures also. But then we don't understand. Sometimes we see close quarters. Acha, this is what it meant, huh? Prahlad Maharaj. Achha. But sometimes we think, poor fellows, conditioned souls, they have to suffer. I am chanting Hare Krishna. It just hits you on your face. Acha, this is what it was told, Prahlad Maharaj said. So most of us in Kali Yuga are, if not fourth class, third class intelligence. We have to experience before we understand. And actually some things will never come unless you experience. Unless you have a back problem, you don't know what back problem is. What people must be experiencing? What is old age? What is extreme degree of lust? Anger is momentary madness. Sometimes you become a victim and then you realize, oh, this is what I was speaking in lecture for the last 20 years. Secondly, despite knowing all the different types of difficulties and troubles in removing the thorns, one should not lose enthusiasm for this service. We may know all the thorns. We may know everything that comes. But when it actually comes, we get discouraged and disillusioned and think that this is too much. Impossible. I think it worked for those acharyas. I think Krishna was personally handling. Now he's retired and gone somewhere, maybe. At least in my life, maybe I'm not so pure. Maybe this, maybe that. So many doubts. Utsahat nishaya dhairyat. Between utsaha, enthusiasm, and dhairya, patience, in the center, one which balances both, is nishaya, faith. When one has faith, one can be enthusiastic. And only when he has full faith can the mind not become restless. A restless mind is impatient. But a person who has faith is patient, and too much patience means no enthusiasm. Let it happen next lifetime, no problem. No. Patience with enthusiasm. Mere enthusiasm without patience is mode of passion. And mere patience without enthusiasm is mode of ignorance. Sattva guna is faith, proper faith that balances both. Determined enthusiasm. Rather, in fact, if we see the lives of acharyas, the endeavor and enthusiasm will progressively increase as he progresses toward the goal. We see in the life of Srila Prabhupada, even on the practically on his deathbed, he's telling, no, so I want to go on Govardhan Parikrama, on the bullock cart. as they progress, as the obstacles becomes more, the enthusiasm becomes more. What is the difference between an ordinary devotee and an extraordinary devotee? That extra. That's why they are extraordinary. This is that extra enthusiasm, extra faith, extra patience. Never to be discouraged by any situation. And it goes on increasing. What is the problem of ordinary devotees? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes. One is selfishness. Desirous of one's own happiness or interest. So generally, we come to bhakti and when things become more suitable and comfortable, okay, as long as everything is going on nicely. What's in it for me? It's good. At least, proper self-interest. First you should know what is real self, then become selfish. Name vidu swartha gatim hi vishnu. Name nate vidu swartha gatim hi vishnu. Swartha, that's good. But an ordinary devotee is happy if things are going smoothly, everything is going nicely, because I'm chanting Hare Krishna and following the principles. Okay, Hari Bol. Complacency might creep in. Second thing is laziness. That lethargy creeps into the heart actually. Okay, I'm doing my best. I've tried. I did my best. Okay. And third, fear of the shouts of irreligious people. So when allegations come from atheistic people, selfish people, envious people, sometimes too many people, or sometimes too loud an allegation, so a person may become fearful. And then think, why should I too much extend myself? Risk of being abused by others. So at the risk of being abused by others, they decide not to move ahead and go relax and everything is comfortable, smooth right now. Let it go on like this. And the fourth obstacle that may come for ordinary devotees like us is they may become bhajanānandis to avoid the trouble and the criticism of others. Okay, nobody seems to appreciate, everyone seems to be. I'll go and I'll do my own bhajan. But an acharya, motivated by the genuine concern for the distress of others, thinks, what does he think? How are the great acharyas able to overcome selfishness, laziness, fear and bhajanānandi in the form of indifference towards others? Let me just deliver myself. Prayena deva munayo svamimukti kaman maunam charanti vijane naparatmanishtha. Prahlad Maharaj says that. They overcome this by genuine compassion, deep concern for the welfare of humanity at large. That compassion is so deep, that motivation by compassion is so deep, that helps them overcome all the other obstacles. Prabhupada writes in the 114, first canto, first chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam, fourth. Nemishe Animisha Kshetre Rishayaha Shaunakadaya. Rishi. He gives a definition of who is a Rishi. Generally, Rishi Muni means we think, you know, in Ramayana they come, hey Vats, hey Ram, ab tum aise karo. They have to have this and or some skin around and then holding some danda. That's why I think Rishi Muni. But he describes what is a Rishi. Says the first thing, three qualities he gives. I call it the triple C formula. easy to remember. He says the first thing is, they are always anxious to do good to people in general. So deep concern for the suffering conditioned souls. Genuine concern. That is the first. Now concern may be there for all of us, but people have no clue what to do. Or they try to do something and they end up creating more mess than the solution creates more problem. As Prahlad Maharaj says, material solutions create more problem than the original problem. Or more problems than the original problem. That is technological advancement to solve the problems of life. Material advancement. It's solving, or in the name of solution, this is a paradox of life. So the second is, they, forgetful men, do not know the right path of peace and prosperity, but the sages know it well. Not just know it well, they are convinced about it. Full conviction, not just concern. Concern may be there. So many philanthropic societies are there. People who are concerned, who are slightly extending themselves from their, you know, selfish shells. They're coming out, trying to come out. But they have no clue what to do. But the sages know it well. If you water the root of the tree, every part of the tree will be nourished. Full conviction against all odds. And thirdly, they are sincere friends of all living entities, and at the risk of great personal inconvenience, they are always engaged in the service of the Lord for the good of the people. That is compassion. Not just concern, which is an internal thing. Compassion means actually risking everything at great personal inconvenience and risk to themselves, they extend to reach out to others. And that's how they are able to overcome, for our point of view. How come? Are they not scared? They're being abused. They're being used. How come this person is so enthusiastic even at this age? This is supposed to be retiring. So, we see that Prabhupada describes so nicely there. So, what is their mindset? Please listen to their mindset. Even if hundreds, thousands, or all the godless people of the countless universes assemble and continue and abuse me with harsh language, I will accept it and boldly continue to declare the truth. If these topics enters the ears of even just one person, and if he removes the contamination of cheating propensity from his heart, then I will think that I have been able to fulfill Lord Chaitanya's mission. This is the deep conviction and their mindset. Therefore, they are not disturbed by hundreds of people or thousands of people. He says all godless people of countless universes assembled together and, you know, can you imagine all of them pointing fingers, cursing, blaspheming, alleging, accusing. Anyone else would just dig the ground and go inside and cover it. But it increases their enthusiasm more. When these kind of things come, at least you know you're on the right track. I know that all living entities are wandering in the material universes because of their aversion to Krishna. So not everyone is going to hear the truth. Even if one person hears, that is sufficient. Such a person can first perfect his life and then preach it to others. They are happy with that. Even this much reciprocation, just little reciprocation, even from one person, they feel tremendous encouragement. Wow, Prabhupada wrote. So one man took the book. He shows some interest. He goes to the West. No one is interested. He says, one person is taking little interest in this program he heard. He asked two questions. See the amount of discouragement and heart attacks and poverty hitting on his face. Just one little reciprocation. So much hope. Ah, there is hope. Going to the Iron Curtain. One man asked questions and sat with him for a few hours. He gave, downloaded the whole information. Enough to start a center and next 20 years. What to do? So much eager to give. Even if there is receptivity of 1%. Ekopi gunavan putra. Prabhupada said that. Ekas chandra stamohanti nachatara. Ah, a host of stars cannot lighten up the sky. Even if one moon is there, good enough. Good enough. I am happy. Even if one person takes up Krishna consciousness and gives up his cheating propensity from the heart and becomes purified. And then he says, there are three kinds of people amongst the ordinary devotees. There are three kinds of people. Two are duplicitous. One is okay. The first is, some people are idle, fond of sense gratification, and accept the conventional path of birth and death as being thornless. I get my food, I have a place of rest, and I am comfortable. Everything is okay, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. While accepting support from their blind followers. So now I have a following, everything is settled and nice. So this is one kind of person. Second, they simply imitate the Bhajanandis while desiring fame and sense pleasures, thus cheating themselves and others. They imitate the Bhajanandis for the desire of names, fame and prestige. The third, they become fully absorbed in the bliss of their bhajan while maintaining an attitude of indifference regarding the welfare of godless civilization. So they may genuinely go into bhajan thinking, ah, it's not for me, I tried my best. And they may relax. Of these, the first two are completely duplicitous, desiring sense gratification and being afraid of unrighteous people. They are averse to Krishna while posing to be devotees externally. Their goal and satisfaction is to please godless people. They never face harassment. They please everyone so as to earn wealth and attract women. Very interesting analysis. He says, such devotees are internally Shaktas, externally Shaivites, and publicly Vaishnavas. I was trying to understand, what is this? Shakta means those who are materialistic. So internally, that person is thinking, what's in it for me? How will I get benefit? How can I enjoy material benefits by engaging in devotional service? By coming to a society, I get these benefits. It's actually Shakta philosophy, materialistic philosophy. So internally Shaktas and externally Shaivites. What are the Shaivites? Let the world go to dogs as long as I am delivered. So they go to seclusion, me and God. Bas, I am happy, I am delivered. That's exactly what Prahlad Maharaj says. He says, Prayena Deva Munayo Swavimukti Kaman. Swavimukti. They are thinking of their liberation. Maunam Charanti. They are very silent. They decide Maunvrat. Vijane. They go to a place where there are no crowd, no disturbances, no harassment, no abuse, no inconveniences. Na Paratmanishtha. Paratmanishtha, there is no dedication to serve others. And the Vaishnav Sannyas Mantra talks about this Paratmanishtha. Etam sa asthaya paratmanishtham adhyasitam purvatamai maharshibhi Aham tarishyami duranta param tamo mukundangri nishevayaiva. Nayam janome sukhadukkha hetu na devatatma manah param. It's the mind which is cheating me. I am not going to be cheated by the mind. Now the mind should be engaged in paratmanishtha. So that Vaishnava sannyas, Tridandi sannyas, is not like Mayavad sannyas. Now I am God, I am liberated. That it's only for the sake of preaching. Na paratmanishtham. So they sacrifice their body, words and mind. That is the Tridandi sannyas. To actually go out and give this. In a godless society or in media presented by godless people, the people who are mostly glorified are those who desire personal happiness, those who accept the conventional path of birth and death, or who make a business of the holy name, mantras and recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, or so-called renounced people who imitate Paramahamsa Vaishnavas. So these are the people generally profusely glorified and immediately accepted by the people at large. Because that's exactly what they want. And here they are. Andhayathandhai upaniyamana. In fact, Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur says, even real Paramahamsas too are not blasphemed. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. He was exclusive Paramahamsa Bhajanandi. They are not blasphemed because they feel that such devotees are bereft of their rightful share of material enjoyment. Poor fellow. They are discarded from society, good for nothing, and are unable to utilize their natural cunningness. So such people are also not criticized. But who are criticized? Those who decide to take up the mission of Lord Chaitanya and they want to preach, they will be criticized. An acharya does not expect or care for the cheap adoration of ordinary people that materialistic so-called devotees hanker for. Nor does he engage in solitary bhajan while considering only his personal self-interest. Rather, he follows the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya and tries to deliver all the people of the world while setting the perfect example. That's why such appearance and disappearance days of these great personalities, it is nice. The reason why we are told to fast, one reason is also so that we get some time, extra time, to ruminate and meditate, introspect, on the principles and the values that they stood for. And there is nothing surprising. If you read their lives, essentially it boils down to the same kind of temptations, same kind of distractions, same kind of obstacles. Names are different. Intensities are different. Duration is different of these difficulties and problems and oppositions and things. It has come. It's going to come. Nothing surprising. In fact, that kind of thing we celebrated. We celebrated. Even though such preachers are seen to be put into, now, they are put into such difficulties. How do we understand that? That's what scares an ordinary devotee. Who? 22 marketplaces? 4 hefty people? If one fellow beats me, I will die. I am not like Haridas Thakur. So sometimes people think, may not be, that's for me. May not be, that's not for me. Even though such preachers are seen to be put into difficulty by malicious people, they are not actually disturbed. Because like Lord Vishnu, Vaishnavas too are transcendentally situated. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes, even Ravana could not disturb Ram because he only kidnapped an illusory Sita. It's not that they don't face difficulty, but they understand. that they can't do any damage. Yeah, this will happen. But they can't do any damage. Because Krishna is on my side. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Partho Dhanudhara, Tatra Shri Vijayo Bhutihi Dhruva Nitihi. And then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur goes elaborately, I don't want to go into detail, into the lives of Mahajans. Take for example Prahlad. Prahlad was the favorite of his father. Actually, Hiranyakashipu loved him. Most lovable and object of affection for all. All in the kingdom loved him. Father, he was the favorite of his father. In a mundane relation of illusion between father and son, a dark son looks fair. Actually, when you fall in love, even a dark fellow looks the fairest to the mother. A blind fellow looks like lotus-eyed. And a disgraced son is seen as an ornament of the family. Hiranyakashipu says this. Hiranyaksha, crest jewel of our dynasty. And he was convinced. Such a nice person. He was just going around. And this Vishnu comes and this. It's not justice. Such obedient fellow. Was so obedient to me. Served his mother so nicely. The moment he started speaking the truth, everything changed. To the extent that the father went to the extreme degree of violence to kill his son, which even an ordinary father would never think of. When Ramanuja started defending the truth, first of all, his so-called guru, Yadav Prakash, conspired to kill him, eliminate him. Somehow his cousin came to know, informed him, he escaped. In Srirangam, the priests decided to kill him twice, poison him, through giving poison in Charanamrit, another time in the Prasad. But one lady somehow indicated and it was fed to a dog and the dog died. The Chola king, a fanatic Shaivite, planned to murder him or convert him into a Smartha Shaivite. Later, because of refusal to accept position, Kuresh's eyes were plucked. Even in the life of Lord Chaitanya and his followers, one can see opposition when truth is spoken. People may not appreciate, not all people will appreciate when we speak the truth. That doesn't mean that we have to harshly speak and if we say, ah, see, now I'm on the right side. No. We satyam bruyat, priyam bruyat, nabruyat, satyam apriyam. Prabhupada says one should speak palatable truth, except a guru. Guru can chastise a disciple because he has surrendered. So we should be intelligent not to speak harshly and people go away and criticize. Then they say, just see, I'm an acharya. We do our best to present it in a very nice way. In spite of that, When there is more and more people accepting, naturally these kind of things may happen. When Lord Chaitanya enacted his pastime, just see the prior to going to Gaya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu still was following. He was a pious householder, a learned Brahmana, an obedient student, erudite teacher, pacifying the mother after the demise of her husband, exhibiting affection for birthplace and relatives, performing funeral rites for the father at Gaya, drinking water that washed the feet of the Brahmanas. All the Ithis and the Karmakandis were very appreciative. Very good, Nimai. Should be like that. Nimai, look at Nimai Pandit. Be an example. But after returning from Gaya, when he started preaching the truth, clearly, strongly, to attract more and more people, all the criticism and blasphemy started. Chaitanya Bhagavat says, what did they say? Purve bhala chilai nimai pandit, gaya hai re asiya chalai viparit. Thik tha ye bechara. जब से गया से आया गया काम से. हरे कृष्णा जाने तक ठीक था, ये अच्छा था. पुअर फेलो. पूर्वे भल छिला ए निमाई पंडित, गया हईते आसिया चलाए विपरीत. सुनी क्रोध कैला सब पड़िया आर गान, सबे मेली करे तबे प्रभुर निंदन. फर्स्ट इंस्टॉलमेंट दे गॉट टुगेदर एंड स्टार्टेड क्रिटिसाइजिंग. सब देश भ्रष्ट कैला एकला निमाई, ब्राह्मण मारिते आछे धर्म भय नाय. इज नॉट ऑल फियरफुल, ही वॉन्ट्स टू किल द ब्राह्मणस. महाप्रभु चेस्ड हिम, गेट आउट, आई एम गुड, ही इज गोइंग टू किल अस. दे एग्जैजरेटेड इट. पुनः यदि आई छे करे मारी बात हारे, कोनो वा मानुष होए की करी ते पारे. हूएवर इट इज, नेक्स्ट टाइम ही डज इट वी विल किल हिम. द ब्राह्मणस डिसाइडेड टू किल हिम एक्चुअली. इवन व्हेन नित्यानंद एंड हरिदास ठाकुर, when they preached, what was the reaction? So then, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, the leaders of society, may be rulers of kingdom, may have the power to punish and kill. The Qazi did, the government did. But a Vaishnava, and especially an Acharya, is never subject to their control. The so-called Vaishnavas may lick their feet, but a real Vaishnava neither care for them, nor is afraid of their allegations, because he is free from the contamination of Kali. And finally, he gives another wonderful quality. When the Acharyas preached the truth in this world, they also had to face stiff opposition. By studying their lives, one can see how they simultaneously displayed anger at those who are envious of the devotees and set the ideal example for the benefit of others, without any personal motive. Yes, krodha bhakta dveshi jane. The anger comes sometimes, but they demonstrated how to exhibit that anger without any personal motive. Sometimes that anger is because of lust. Kamat krodho bhi jayat. How is that anger different from the anger of the acharyas at the non-acceptance or rejection or criticism or blasphemy of the atheistic class of men or envious or selfish kind of people? So we have to learn from this. Simply by seeing, hearing and scrutinizingly studying the lives of such pure devotees, devotion for the maintainer of all living entities, Lord Vishnu, becomes established within the heart. Thus an acharya who takes the responsibility of preaching the truth will invariably face many impediments while acting for the welfare of human society by those godless people who are the majority of the world's population and are firmly determined to bring about their own ruination. In spite of the opposition, the greatly magnanimous personalities tirelessly endeavor to benefit those suffering in material existence. So on such auspicious days, today is the disappearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. His own words, and not only his words, but if you see his action, and previous to him, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and after him, Srila Prabhupada. So we find, this is a common feature. And following in that footsteps, then we will have a happy new year. We just want to follow in their footsteps, because they are treading a path which is actually happy. See, we are looking for happiness which is like a puddle. If you shake it, everything is shaken. But we want happiness like deep, like the ocean. Even if waves come, deep inside, the happiness is not disturbed. We want permanent happiness, deep-rooted happiness, real happiness, unshakable happiness, eternal happiness. Sukham atyantikam. We want endless happiness. Buddhigrahyam. Only intelligent people. Less intelligent people seek like a puddle, you know, sense gratification, which is very temporary. As long as the sweet is in the mouth, you are happy. When it goes inside, you are miserable. So that kind of happiness is very fleeting, very temporary. Kamala dala jala jivana talamala. That kind of happiness is not happy. Buddhi grahyam and atindriyam. It is not on a sensual platform. It's the soul's happiness. And yam, what is the proof that you have got it? Yam labdhva chaparam labham manyate nadhikam tata. If someone says, Prabhu, if you stop that, I will give you another happiness. I will give you Navanidhi, Ashtasiddhi. I will give you the position of Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Vayu, even Brahma. Thank you, sir. You keep it. Hare Krishna. If he can actually say that, that means we will not trade it for any of this so-called happiness of this world. That is the proof that you have the highest happiness. I am happy. Yeah, I am very happy. Shall I show you another one? Yes. Let us throw and let us go with you. That's not happiness. This is real happiness. Yam labdhva, having got which, cha aparam labham namanyate adhikam. Nothing higher than this. Mahaprabhu asked Kolavecha, you are such a poor man. Do you want money? Do you want a kingdom? Do you want a good wife? Should I send you position of Brahma, Indra and send you to the spiritual world? I said, no. Keep coming and harassing me every day. I just want to serve you. I want to remember you, Nimai. That's all. It's amazing. Therefore, Mahaprabhu said, one day I will reveal to the whole world, you are a most, the biggest cheater. You're cheating the whole world. You look like a poor man. Nobody wants to follow you. But everyone should follow you because you're the most happiest person. Every year is Happy New Year for you. In that sense. And new. One more quality of happiness. Yasmin sthitona dukkhena gurunapi vichalyate. Even if major catastrophes come in one's life, still they are not ready to trade that happiness. That means love of Krishna, service to Krishna, remembrance of Krishna. This is the proof when Kunti says, Vipadaha santuta shashvat. My Lord, I don't care, send me all the calamities, one after another. As long as I am seeing you, I am remembering you, I am serving you, I don't care what calamities come. Because actually in one sense, calamities are good because that they make me focus. Because calamity means darkness. In darkness, you can appreciate light better. Sometimes when things are very complacent, everything is smooth and nice, everyone is good to me, I think this world is very nice. I want to stay in this world. Better you send me, show me the reality. Let Maya remove the curtain and show me her ugly face. Then I will run towards you, catch hold of you, remember you, take your shelter. Of course, we may not be on that platform, but at least by hearing, we should be convinced that no situation in this world is good enough to bargain for the happiness that is derived by susukham kartum, bhakti yoga. And new? What's new? Puna puna charvita charvananam. But everything about Krishna consciousness or bhakti or Krishna is ever new. It is the same Lord. It is the same temple. It is the same Mangalarti prayer. It is the same holy name. It is the same daily schedule. The same Bhagavad Gita. Same Bhagavatam. Everything is the same. But it is ever fresh. Navanavayamanam. While in the material world, people desperately need change. What does that mean? That means they are not happy with what they have. Therefore, you need change. You need change. Change. Try to, you know, it's like a sugar cane which has already been chewed. Sometimes they think from underneath we chew, from over we chew, from side we chew, left and it's already chewed already. And every year means passage of time. Actually, it's very fearful. That's why we need to drink to enjoy. Because if you are sober, very difficult to enjoy. Because reality is too much striking the head. People who can't sleep, they take intoxication just to sleep. It's not that they don't know intoxication is bad. But reality is too painful. So much anxiety, so much fear, so much tension, worry. To forget it, they need to take this. Because they have no other way to subdue and experience something higher or to forget this. So with every rising and setting of the sun, we are one day closer to death. What's so happy about it? Except for those who are moving closer toward the Lord. Time comes imperceptibly to both devotees and non-devotees. But how they perceive it is different. It's like a cat holds the rat in the same mouth, holds the kitten in the same mouth. But for a rat, the last thing it wants to see is the mouth of the cat. All that I aspired for and struggled and possessed, everything will be finished. Kalosmi, mai kal hoon. It's a wheel that crushes everything. Where are all the Napoleons and Hitlers and the British Empire and Roman Empire and where the sun never set? Now the sun never rises. Bhakti Raghav Maharaj was recently telling. He says now 98% of people from the village have moved to American cities. 2% are working in villages. And Mahajano ye nagata sapanta, we are following in footsteps. That's why people have gone crazy, shooting their own parents, shooting kids. Crazy, they have just no idea how to find excitement, happiness. So do something different, something new. I killed 14 people last time, this time I'll kill 28. Or kill them in different ways, various ways. Maybe shooting down, maybe killing them with a bottle or this or that, with a gun, or with some brick bat. Something different. To seek excitement, which is what the soul is seeking. Because it's away from natural living. But then Krishna consciousness is actually susukam kartu, pratyaksha avagamam. You can actually experience. For a devotee, time comes as Krishna, personal. And death means Krishna's embrace. Come, my dear child. You suffered enough for me. Now I want you to come to my loving embrace. And Krishna comes as death for the non-devotees. So truly Happy New Year means this. That we take up the process of Krishna. That's what the great acharyas have come. This is their gift. Celebrating their appearance and disappearance day means appreciating their sacrifice to give us the process to make our life happy year after year and ever new and fresh year after year. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Thank you very much.